Check 1-2. Testing 1-2. Mr. Nobody. Episode 17. I had a crisis. In this episode, I'm going to untangle how my guitar playing and the death of my son are related. It's a weird topic. Why should those things matter or be related at all? I'll try to explain. This is an existential crisis for me. So I had a miniature career where I performed in nightclubs for years, becoming a staple artist in several key clubs, where I was able to develop, produce work for myself and others, write songs, grow the groups, make records, and feel the connection with the music between myself, the group, and the audience. That is a super important circle that I just explained right there. And it's as deep as you want to take it. Now, I felt connected to my guitar. I had years of classical training. I could play pieces. I could play the tunes that I wrote. But my issue was that I wasn't really feeling that I could move through the music freely. I was always tethered to licks or parts or sections where I had worked out
more or less what to do.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but I knew there was something much greater. That something was knowing how to improvise. In the moment composition, where ideas come when they come and you chase them down to their conclusions and move on to the next one when you feel it. I don't know of many art forms that have that as their foundation. What comes to mind is martial arts, like real fighting, where you can't predict and shouldn't predict or use any formalized style because that will make you vulnerable. But you
flow
in the situation from moment to moment, do whatever
the moment requires.
And jazz.
Jazz
is open. It's as open as you want to make it. Its foundation is improvisation, composition in the moment, and you don't even know what's going to come out. And I wanted to be in that vulnerable space. Whatever came to me is where I'd go, is what I'd play. Living the moment, and it might not make the best music all the time.
Maybe the thing you worked out sounds better,
is more organized, and, you know, hits the right notes, whatever.
But it doesn't compare
to the freedom, the emotional freedom, to not have any preconception, because that's really what's going to be required. The stakes are high. The stakes are very high. The time is going. You got to be able to play the changes. And then when it's your time to solo,
what are you going
to
do?
What are you going to say? You're just going to play licks? Tricks?
That has a place.
But I wanted to speak from my unknown. My son and I used to be immersed in this conversation, constantly talking about the best way to go about this. I got a teacher, and I started getting my ass kicked. Over time, I started to realize there were dozens of valid
approaches
to trying to figure out how to become a good jazz guitarist. The guitar has its own
particular issues.
Then there's overarching theoretical
truth
that connects all music, particularly Western harmony, which I would say started
with Pythagoras.
Pythagoras identified that every note has a faint series of
overtones.
And when he mapped out those overtones, they became alter dominant chord, which is a chord of very profound unrest
and yearning.
I found some really deep truth in this idea that every note is really seeking its resolution. Every single note has built into it this unstable yearning. I really like that. Even the sun emits a tone that's yearning for resolution. I'll tell you what my breakthrough was. After years of playing
hours a day
and not feeling like I was getting
anywhere,
I wasn't cracking the code, as a colleague of mine used to say. I wasn't connecting to a way of playing that worked for me. I could see all kinds of great players. They all sound different, and they all have different
approaches.
Some of the ones who had more comprehensive approaches were not necessarily the more intriguing
players.
Where do you go? What do you do? Do you just chase every teacher around to try to find what's best? I knew the answer was inside me, that I had to find my own way. With all of the knowledge that I had been gathering. So my breakthrough, I was playing in a workshop, which was pretty challenging. A lot of analysis about how you just played and you were going to find out and have things discussed that you had to deal with, how much work you had to do. The week before, on the tune that we were playing, I was just completely muffing these chords because I couldn't get to them quickly enough. I had to find a way. I needed to figure out how to play chords that had the most amount of information with the least amount of notes, and that moved to the next chord with the least amount of motion. I dropped all the roots. I play all my chords off the thirds, which immediately gives you one extension.
It's off the third.
I began developing voicings on the inner four strings, mostly three-note chords that offered a lot of transparency, stayed out of the way of the horn players,
get the eyeball,
and kept away from the bass player so that he had
control
over the root motion. And the way we would sound together was just immediately delicious.
Delicious.
The teacher came across the room to me, and he had his guitar in his hand. He's like,
"Hey, man, what are you doing over here?"
And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I'm just... these are the chords I'm using." He's like,
"Okay, well, you're making the changes."
That was the breakthrough right there.
Well, you're making the changes.
You're supposed to make the changes. Just like if you're a parent, you're supposed to pay the fucking
rent. You're supposed to take care of your kids.
You don't get extra points for making the changes. It was really only because I put myself into this fire that I had to
find a way to survive.
And it came to me
through
that
process
to play a certain way.
And this was my
breakthrough, that I was going to just figure out how to play the guitar for myself.
Maybe I won't be the greatest guitar player in the world, and that doesn't
matter. What matters is that I understood the entire fretboard, that it all unlocked for me, and that it was going to take some time to get it to flow. But that I knew what I had to do.
Or at least where to start.
The path revealed itself. Here's what I did. I started with C major. No sharps, no flats. And I started with the dominant chord of that key, which is G. So a G7 chord. I left off the root, and I start on the third of the chord. So I would start all my chords, if you will, off the third. It's not a new idea. I didn't come up with that. It's something jazz players all do. I had to remap in my mind what chords were, like how to touch them, not from the root notes, but from the thirds. I had to relearn my automatic motor skills. G became a shape that we often see as a B minor 7 flat 5, using the 3rd, the 5th, the 7th, and the 9th. And noticing that the G9 was also a half diminished chord. Sorry for people that don't know this stuff, but a half diminished chord is associated in my ear
to the melodic minor scale.
So that started to open up a pathway. If I can get my dominant chords,
a pathway,
to be situated with no roots, one extension, dropping out notes, particularly the fifth as needed, connecting them with melodic minors and arpeggios, I had a place to start, and that really lit the way for me. Thank you. So the first thing I did was focus on the G dominant chords up and down the neck of the guitar on the inner voicings and then the higher outer voicings. Just four positions in each of those places. I should move this along because it's pretty
dry
stuff here, folks. A five chord implies a four chord, what's called a subdominant. In jazz, we substitute a two chord for the four chord because it's just a softer, nicer, jazzier,
if you will,
sounding four chord. And so thus we get the famous 2-5.
2-5.
Which comes from the 4-5. And I came up with these very sparse sounding chords. They sound like this. 2 going to a 5. No alterations, just regular 2 going to the 5 of the key.
And then I added the 1.
The 1.
And
one,
it would sound
one,
like this. Right?
Pretty basic. Now, if I wanted to push back to the 2 chord, what we would do is we would add a 5 of that chord. So if D
minor
is the 2 chord, an A7 is the 5 of that 2. And so this is how you create a turnaround. 2-5-1-6. And I could use basically diatonic voicings, except the 6 is a chord that steps out of the C major tonality, because there's no A7 chord in the key of C major. And so we're starting to experience a little bit of shifting
tonality.
And that got me thinking, these 5 chords are often experienced as altered dominant chords, certainly the 6 chord. And the reason for that is the A7 chord
wouldn't have its natural
6th degree, which would be an F sharp. That's the tone that would stick out of the C major scale as not belonging. So it would squinch down a little bit, half step to an F natural, and that would make the A7 alter to A7 plus 5. And if I've got an alteration going on in the 6th chord, I figure, well, I better learn how to play altered dominants on the 5 chord. And so what naturally emerged was a 2, an altered 5, a 1, and the altered 6. The 5 and the 6 were both dominant chords. Just in case you're interested, my altered dominants are really minor 7 flat 5 chords, a whole step down from the root. I'll leave that to you musicians to sort that out. But I'm explaining basically that you have consonant sounds, like the 2 is more or less a consonant sound. It's not straining. And it's going to a 5 chord that belongs to the key, which is pushing to the 1 chord. But an altered dominant pushes even harder.
Pushes even harder.
And so I consider this both inside and outside ways of handling these dominant chords. So like an inside sound would be like this, using dominants that are not altered. and then an outside 2-5-1-6. And I really like this kind of sound. And it also allowed me to change the arpeggios on each chord, which created a lot of cool soloing possibilities.
Instead of just staying in the diatonic key,
slightly moving out when those altered dominants happened,
and then shifting back to the key,
that
sliding in and out
gave me a lot of possibilities for soloing.
And so this became
my first exercise. 2-5-1-6. Four positions on the inner voicings. We don't want to leave out the relative minor, which in the key of C would put us in A minor. The 5 of A is E, and that gets a 2 chord. And in this particular context, it's a
half diminished chord.
And it was also related to the 4. The 2 chord of the minor is the same thing. It's really a substitution for the 4. So you could see how related B minor 7 flat 5
is to D minor 7,
the 4 chord of A. It's really just a D minor 6.
B is the 6 of D.
But anyway, 2-5-1 is how we say it.
In the key of A minor,
it's B minor 7 flat 5, E 7, I alter this dominant, and then the 1 chord. And then I put this in 4 positions on the inner voicing.
Sounds like this.
Why don't I put that whole thing together and sort of build a master exercise of 2-5-1-6, 2-5-1. So D minor, G7 altered, C major, A7 altered, B minor 7 flat 5, E7 altered, A minor. Outer voices. Now let's arpeggiate that, shall we? Breakthrough on how to navigate through changes with some scaffolding that made sense to me and that also allowed me to play chords easily, quickly, that sounded really good and that were fluid. One more note on these chord shapes. They repeat. I repurpose them. So it isn't like I had to learn dozens of chord shapes. For example, the chord that I use over G7 at B minor flat 5 sound can operate as a tritone dominant substitution for C sharp. Another example would be a D minor voicing is the same exact voicing that I use for C major. I wanted to find a way that I didn't have to learn dozens of chord shapes. There's just a few. In fact, I think there's only 8, and I repeat them all over the place.
Just small adjustments.
That's kind of it. So in my phone conversations with my son, when we were trying to figure out the best way to approach playing the guitar, and I say jazz, but it's just music. So this was the lesson I would have taught
him.
And we got together in my apartment upstate.
Little apartment where I lived with my son.
We lived there many happy years.
Martial art classes and eating dinner.
Playing guitar and wrestling.
And reading.
I have a cat that's going to be 18 years old.
My cat has outlived my son.
She knew how absolutely devastated I was by what my son did.
Of course, there's much more
to add to this business.
There's connecting
with other lines, there's singing the bass notes, there's singing the arpeggios, chromatics,
whatever.
And the story here is that my daily guitar playing, the moment I sit down to play,
and I play for hours every day,
it's a reverence. It's my church. It's my religion.
Those are weird words.
My sense of connection to something greater than myself.
And hearing
the beauty that comes out.
That I don't own.
I don't even create, it creates me. I wanted to become a jazz guitar player. Instead, I became a guitarist. I play jazz.
Play all kinds of music.
I don't pick it apart, whatever feels good. That's the important thing about those chords. They feel really good.
It's really pleasurable
to slide from one to the other. After years of struggle
and darkness,
I had this light, this illumination,
this awakening.
I had this gig that I was preparing for, and this was the time that
I psychically
took off my attention to my son. I don't know if you
can understand that,
but I assumed that he was well. He was finishing up his semester.
We were talking on the phone and texting.
I immersed myself for about
12 weeks
into the set of music that I had to play.
And that means
every single chord change,
every moment
of every song,
the vocals,
the presentation,
and most especially
inside
meaning
of
the vibrations.
And I was so excited that he was coming to see me play.
It wasn't about coming to see me play. It was about
revealing
that I had unlocked this.
And I was so excited to share it with him. Because it was like the way that he would share a jiu-jitsu move with me.
Or
something profoundly important to our education.
And it just seemed like it was something we were doing together.
I noticed on the night that he came
to this gig,
and my daughter was there too,
that he was distracted.
I couldn't exactly put my finger on it, but he was
with his friends.
And his friends were awesome. They're not drug users or fucking
wastrels.
awesome young men.
I couldn't really gauge
where he was. And this was the time that he was actively using
heroin. Shooting heroin.
At the end of the gig, we had a few moments together.
Talking about
the sparse chords and the
voice leading.
Yeah, Dad.
Yeah, Dad, it sounded really good.
Okay. I maybe heard some dark chords. I wish I heard them louder. They weren't obvious.
My son did a really good job
of fooling me. And I feel like a fool.
Fool.
We were miles apart.
I didn't even know it.
A few days later, I insisted. I'm like, dude, we gotta get together. And just for an hour, let me show you what this is. And he was with his friends, and he was having fun, and he was falling in love with this beautiful girl. And he seemed so well.
So happy.
Ironic. So we sat in my little apartment. He would always ask, Dad,
would it be cool if I lived here someday?
Fuck yeah.
That's what it's for.
That's what my life is for. For you to stand upon it.
And move forward.
And we both got guitars, and I said, here it is.
Four positions in the inner voice.
Four positions on the higher voices. We make 2 5-1-6s out of them. We weave those
together with
arpeggios. We connect the arpeggios with chromatics. And we pick
any key,
any tune, and we shift this around
to every
possible situation.
Unlock the box.
And he said, Dad, that's the whole guitar.